Welcome tonight. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to share the lesson on sponsory with you. I'm a grateful believer of Jesus Christ, and my name is Todd, in recovery for codependency. Thank you. So one of the benefits of being a state representative for Celebrate Recovery is that part of my role is meeting with senior pastors in the churches that are within my territory. And I had one of those opportunities this past week, and you may have heard this story. I believe it made the news channels. I try not to listen to the news these days because it's not filled with very much good news. Most of it's bad. But this is just an amazing story that actually ties into the subject of the lesson tonight on sponsors. So when I arrived at the church, the pastor was so excited to share this message with me. And it was about a woman in his congregation who had something happen a month or so ago that is nothing short of a miracle. So he was bubbly when he was telling me this story. So she was a relatively healthy member of his congregation and went in for routine cosmetic surgery, which included a face lift, a tummy tuck, a neck lift, and due to her nose being broken as a teenager while playing volleyball, a nose reconstruction. So the surgery prep went fine, and the surgery was progressing as expected until she began having an irregular heartbeat, and she went into respiratory distress. In a matter of moments, she went from being well to being extremely sick, and actually they were losing her on the table. They believe it was because of an adverse reaction to anesthesia or a blood clot, and they never did quite figure it out. So as the doctor was trying frantically, she actually passed away on the operating table. The doctor worked feverishly to revive her, and after many minutes, they were able to bring her back to life. And at that point, the doctor was well over halfway into the surgery, so he'd already made the major incisions and decided that he had to continue with the surgery and to complete the surgery. So while it was touch and go for several minutes there, she did come out alive, and the cosmetic surgery was a success. So the pastor went on to tell me about how a couple days after surgery he had gone to the hospital. And as soon as the pastor walked in the door, this woman burst into tears and told him how that during the surgery she could actually see her body on the operating table. And she heard the doctor say that they had lost her. And in that instant, the doctor saying that she was gone, she found herself in what she describes as the most amazing place she could ever imagine. The colors were so bright and beautiful, and all she felt was love and peace. She found herself walking along a garden path where she ran into a man in a white glowing robe. And she said the robes were the whitest white that she'd ever seen. She immediately knew in her spirit that this was God that she had encountered. So they conversed for a little bit, and then God explained to her that it wasn't her time yet. And when she said, she asked God, how much time do I have left to live? And God, being as precise as God is, God told her 22 years, 8 months, and 12 days to live. And at that very moment that God said those words, her heart began to beat back on the operating table, and she came back to life, and she began breathing on her own. So the pastor called it a miracle. And her recovery through that surgery, even though she had that issue on the operating table, was swift. In fact, her recovery went so well in the hospital that on the morning that she was going to leave the hospital to go home, a good friend of hers who was going to take her home that day snuck into her room early and colored her hair and did her makeup. So she was going to be released as a new woman from the hospital that day. And as she walked out of the door of the hospital, she was on a mission and excited to spend the next 22 years, 8 months and 12 days doing work for God. So the doctor discharged her that afternoon and she left the hospital. Those of you that have been to St. Vincent's before, you know, as you walk out the door, the parking lot's across, there's a little roadway that goes between there. So I didn't see the details of this on the news, but apparently a TriMet van was driving down that road, and the TriMet driver became distracted by what was going on inside the van, and she was unaware that the van was coming, and the van struck her and killed her instantly. So amazingly, once again, she found herself walking in that same garden. Within a blink of an eye after being hit, she once again encountered God. And the first words out of her mouth were, God, you told me that I had 22 years left. Why did you let the van run over me? So God took one look at her and said, "Barbara, I have to be honest with you. I didn't recognize you." If you remember the story about the bagpipes the last time I was up here, I got you again, but that's okay. So while that story is fiction, the truth is that many of us hide behind masks in our recovery. We never expose our true selves to those around us. And the impact is that we never step fully into recovery. We are less than truthful with not only ourselves, but also those who are walking in recovery with us, our friends, our families, and more importantly, God, who, while he knows us intimately, often looks at us and, like Barbara, wonders who we're trying to be. In Celebrate Recovery, there are relationships where being transparent and authentic are basic requirements for walking into freedom. And the two most important relationships that we have in this program are those with our sponsors and with our accountability partners. Tonight, we're going to focus on the importance of having a sponsor in our relationship as we go through recovery. So we're in principle four and step four. So will you read with me the principles and steps associated with this lesson? I think we'll have them up on the screen here. So principle four, so read them out with me. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. In step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the verse that goes with that, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord, Lamentations 3:40. So in this past month, we've talked about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which you found when you made that decision to turn your life and your will over to the care of God, which is in step three. Now you see that your road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. You'll find that you actually need three relationships as you make this journey of recovery. Most important is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in addition to that, you'll need a relationship with your small group or step study here at Celebrate Recovery. And lastly, you need relationships of your sponsor and your accountability partners. Principle four is focused on getting rid of our truth decay. And it's about coming clean with ourselves and those around us and with God. So Proverbs 5:14 says, a wise person is hungry for truth while a fool feeds on trash. As you sit here tonight, are you ready to feed on the truth about your life? If you are, then it's time to take out the trash. The trash can get pretty heavy at times, so it's important to try not to handle it alone. I know I tried to do recovery on my own for the first 35 years of my adult life. And after reading all the books and listening to all the tapes, I found myself no closer to freedom than when I stepped into my adulthood at 20. Trying to do recovery alone just didn't work for me. And in fact, trying to do recovery in isolation just doesn't work out very well. And it usually ends in failure and disappointment. In recovery, you need a genuine mentor, a coach, or in recovery terms, a sponsor and accountability partners. So some of you may be sitting here tonight and still not convinced that you really need another person to walk alongside of you on your road to recovery. So tonight we're going to shed some light on why it's a good idea. Do we have the slide on the... Yep, okay. So we don't have the alligator slide, sorry. Is that one not in there? Okay, keep going. Ah, there it is. So this is why it's a good idea. So while it's possible to cross the river on the back of an alligator, the outcome is unpredictable and fraught with dangers. And it's highly probable that you won't make it to the other side unscathed. So the same is true with trying to do recovery without a sponsor. So tonight we're going to cover the answers to the following questions. And I think our handouts tonight say lesson 8. It's actually lesson 7. A couple years ago, they reprinted the books and flipped lesson 7 and 8 around. This is actually lesson 7 on sponsor. And we don't have an acrostic tonight. I think this is the only lesson in 25 lessons that doesn't have an acrostic. So you'll actually have to pay attention to as we go through here, because the answers are actually throughout this presentation, so throughout this lesson. So tonight we're going to cover the answers to the following 5 key questions. So question 1, why do I need a sponsor and or an accountability partner? Question 2, what are the qualities of a sponsor? Number 3, what does a sponsor do? Question 4, how do I find a sponsor and or an accountability partner? And 5, what's the difference between a sponsor and an accountability partner? They're actually two different roles, and we'll talk about those tonight. So let's start with question 1, why do I need a sponsor and or an accountability partner? So there's 3 reasons why you need a sponsor or an accountability partner. First, having a sponsor or accountability partner is biblical. So Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 tells us, two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help them get up. But if someone is alone, there's no one there to help them. Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. I know this, I isolated. That was one of my key go-to activities as somebody who had lots of issues to deal with. So I thought that isolating was the best approach. Isolating just made all those things fester. It made them all worse. And Proverbs 12:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So did you know that phrase, one another, is used in the New Testament over 50 times? So God had that in his plans, that we need to do life together and we need to do recovery together, not alone in isolation. So tonight there's 2 guys here that were in my step study. We started, 5 years ago. So I know we sharpened each other as we went through that process. So isolation is dangerous. It plays tricks on our minds, and it makes us believe. Hello, Moto. That we're okay even when we're not, and it destroys the relationships of those around us. And I know that in spades. So the next key point is having a sponsor or accountability partner is a key part of your recovery program. So did you know that your recovery program has 4 key elements to success? If your program includes each of these areas, you're well on your way to stepping into freedom. And if you don't, it's going to be a rough road ahead. So the first key is maintaining your on. And why is a sponsor key in this activity? So the first key is maintaining your honest view of reality as you work each step. I've yet to see this program fail for anybody who is completely honest with himself or herself. I have, however, seen some who give up their recoveries because they would not step out of their denial and into God's truth. Having someone to help you keep yourself honest is a real plus in successfully working the steps. And that's where a sponsor comes in. And it's a priceless resource for you. Your sponsor becomes someone who knows you well enough to ask if you're really being honest with yourself. And I had my sponsor ask me many times when we met on Saturdays for coffee, is that really what's going on? And I had to look at him in the eyes, and most of the times I had to say, no, that's not really what's going on. Here's what's really going on. But without him sitting there and asking those questions, I was still sitting in denial. The second key element is making your attendance at Celebrate Recovery meetings a priority in your schedule. This doesn't include, like, you're going to go on a summer vacation, that's okay, or missing a meeting because you're sick. But it is important that you're here. So remember that your hurts, hang-ups, and habits don't take vacations. They're always with you. So you need somebody, you need to make it here on Wednesday nights, and you need to go to your step study meetings, and you need to go to small group when you're here on Wednesday nights. So your sponsor can help encourage you to attend your meetings, and most sponsors will be on the phone asking if you're okay if they see that you missed a meeting if you're not here. And for me, knowing that somebody's going to be looking for me was a great incentive to show up and to be here and to participate each and every week. The third element is maintaining your spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer, meditation. My name's Todd. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I struggle with words. A little Freudian slip there in a recovery meeting. That's kind of funny. I'm going to actually write that in next time. Meditation. Sorry, not medication. And the study of his word. We're going to focus more on this in Principle 7 when we step forward in the next few weeks. But you don't have to wait until you get there to develop your relationship with Jesus. Your sponsor can pray for you and to help keep you centered on God's word. They can help you identify resources to help you get closer to God and to draw closer to the plans and purposes that God has for your life. A sponsor, however, is not your Holy Spirit. And he isn't the spirituality police. That aspect of your life is between yourself and God. The last key element of a successful program is getting involved in service. So once you've completed Principle 8, you'll be able to serve as a sponsor. So as soon as you go through step study, you can be a sponsor. Until that time, however, there are plenty of other service opportunities to get you started. In fact, if you've been here more than one night, you can serve at Celebrate Recovery. So look for somebody with a lanyard. Look for Paul and Maggie. There's all kinds of things that you can do here to get involved. So reach a key component and a key measurement of your success in recovery is how much do you give back. Recovery isn't ours to keep. It is, however, ours to give back and to give away. So having a sponsor and accountability partner is the best guard against relapse, and I think that is one of the questions in our notes here. So relapse is often called a necessary component of recovery. It does happen in recovery, but your sponsor is there to help you not relapse. So by providing feedback to keep you on track, a sponsor and accountability partner can see your old dysfunctional self-defeating patterns, and he can see them as they begin to surface and point them out to you quickly. Then he or she can confront you with the truth out of love without placing guilt or shame on you. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It is better to be criticized by a wise man than to be praised by a fool." The trouble with most of us is that we'd rather be ruined by praise from a fool than to be saved by criticism from a wise person. So let's talk about what are some of the qualities of a sponsor. So we talked about why do we need a sponsor. Let's talk about what are some of the qualities of a sponsor. So as you're looking around the room tonight or you're looking in small group, these are some things to look out for. So Proverbs 25 says, "Though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out." So when you're selecting a sponsor, look for the following qualities. So does his or her walk match his or her talk? Are they living the 8 principles? I've known many people who have the 12-step lingo down, and fortunately there's not many of those in here, if there's any of them, but there are those out there that they know the words and they know the phrases and the buzzwords, but their lifestyle outside these doors don't match the programs, the 8 principles and the 12 steps. Be certain that the person that you choose as a sponsor is someone whose life is an example worthy of imitation. So we're going to spend a lot of time with these people. We're going to be learning from them. We want to make sure that they're somebody that we want to be like. Secondly, do they have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you see the character of Jesus developing in them? If they never say Jesus, you never see them pray, you never hear them talk about godly things, probably a red flag, something to look at. Third, do they express the desire to help others on the road to recovery? There's a difference between helping others and trying to fix others. So that's another key thing. So those of us that are codependent, we want to fix you, right? That's one of our key attributes. Probably not a good thing to be in a sponsor, is trying to fix you. We want somebody who will come along beside us and to help us, but they're not going to do the work for us, nor are they going to try to fix us. So we've got to watch out for those unhealthy, codependent relationships with a sponsor. Fourth, do they show compassion, care, and hope, but not pity? So you don't need somebody to feel sorry for you, but you do need somebody to be sensitive to your pain. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback, says, "People don't care about how much you know until they know about how much you care." That's a great sentence. I'm going to read it again. People don't care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. So find somebody who demonstrates that they care. Fifth, are they a good listener? So do you sense that he or she is honestly listening to you? Is it obvious from their actions and their words? And do they care about what you are saying? So if they just say, yeah, probably not a good candidate for a sponsor. And this is one of the key ones for me, anyway, it was, are they strong enough to confront your denial or procrastination? So those of us in recovery, You know, we struggle with denial. That's the first step, right? First principle. We're in denial. Are they going to be able to sit across the table from you and ask the questions that'll draw out whether you are in denial or not? Or if you're procrastinating, will they pick up the phone and say, hey, did you do that this week? Did you get that done? You said you were going to get it done. Did you get it done? So we don't want somebody who's not going to hold us accountable. I think this is number 8 or 7. Do they offer suggestions? So sometimes we need help in seeing options or alternatives. We're so blinded by the force that we're in the recovery, in the middle of something that's a disaster, that we can't see every option for us that's out there. So does our sponsor offer suggestions that are going to help us move past where we're at? And is the sponsor objective? So are they looking at this from an objective viewpoint, not as your friend or your coach or your mentor, but somebody who can actually say, you know what, you have a problem here and you need to, here's some ideas on how you can deal with that. And lastly, can they share their own current struggles with others? So are they willing to open up and be vulnerable and transparent? I don't know about you, but I don't want a sponsor who says that he has worked the principles. I want a sponsor who demonstrates that they are living and working the principles every day, and they're willing to share their experiences as they went through this process. So let's talk about what the role of a sponsor is. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what a sponsor is supposed to be. So they're not your babysitter. They're not there to beat you over the head with a stick. They're really there to help you through this process. So let me give you 6 things that a sponsor is likely going to do for you as you go through this process. So 1, they can be there to discuss issues in detail that are too personal or would take too much time in your meeting. So your meeting being either small group tonight, or if you're in step study, during step study. You know, we limit our sharing to 3 to 5 minutes on purpose because we have people who everybody needs to get time to share, but sometimes you have stuff that just takes more than 3 to 5 minutes to get through. So your sponsor is a key resource for you to reach out to and to share those things with. At the same time, they can be there to share their own experiences through those similar situations. 2, they're available in times of crisis or potential relapse. So you'll often hear sponsors around here say, call me before you take that first drink. If you can't do that, call me afterwards and let's talk. So it's somebody to be there to listen to you, but they need to be available. So I know all of us have busy schedules. Some of us have lots of things going on. But if you're looking for a sponsor, find somebody who has the time to help you through this process. So again, going back to Ecclesiastes 4:12, 2 people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. Your sponsor is there to be that other person. 3, can they be a sounding board by providing an objective point of view? So this is especially true in Principle 6. When you're dealing with the sensitive area of making amends and offering forgiveness, you need a good sounding board. So you need somebody to sit down with you to go through your inventory and to talk through, well, how are you going to give your amends to that person to make sure that you're not doing more damage. Next, they're there to encourage you to work the principles at your own speed. So here's a key part. It's not your sponsor's job to do the work for you. And again, being a codependent, trying to help everybody, that's a struggle for me, but it's not their job to do the work for you. Your coach can sponsor can coach you through the process. They can confront you when you're stuck, and they can slow you down when you're working too fast. There's some key areas for them. Most important, they attempt to model a lifestyle that results from working the 8 principles. It's difficult to inspire others to accomplish what you haven't been willing to do yourself. A good sponsor lives the principles. And another key point here is a sponsor can be can resign or can be fired. So if you see that the relationship that you have with your sponsor isn't working out, you can tell them, you know, I don't think this is working out for me. And you can go find another sponsor. Same thing with a sponsor. If you have a sponsee and that sponsee is just, they're not following through, they're not doing what you're asking them to do, there's no accountability on their part, you can fire your sponsee as well. So it goes both ways. So let's talk about how do I find a sponsor or an accountability partner. So the responsibility of finding a sponsor or accountability partner is not people in this room with lanyards. It's actually your responsibility to go find them. So those of us with lanyards can help you find somebody that has the same type of hurt, hang-up, or habit that you do. But it's not our responsibility to go find them. So that can be intimidating for some folks. So we do want to be here to help you. So first, let's talk about some of the rules for finding a sponsor. So first and foremost, the person must be of the same sex as you. So men with men, women with women. There's no exceptions to that rule in Celebrate Recovery. And I don't think I need to expand on that one, why that's the case. So can you relate to this person's story? So it's great having a sponsor who has worked the program for the same hurts and hang-ups and habits that you have. I know mine did. So my first sponsor, we sort of went our separate ways after step study, and I found another sponsor who's usually here on Wednesday nights. And we often say that we're twin brothers from a different mother because we have a lot of the same attributes. And many of you know who that is. So, yeah. But he and I have a great working relationship. So because we have the same hurts and habits, there's an instant connection. They get us. They understand us. They know what we're going through. And they've gone through it themselves, and they've been successful out of the other end of it. So it doesn't mean that if you have drugs and alcohol as your issue and you pick somebody that's codependent that that won't work out. Sometimes that does. But it's often best to find somebody that has those same things that you've gone through. So as you're looking for a sponsor, it's key to come to the meetings here on Wednesday night. And it's even more important to go to small group. So it's kind of hard sitting in these chairs like this to look around the room and see people with a lanyard on and say, I think that's going to be my sponsor. So you really need to get to know these people. And the best way to do that is to go to small group, which is coming up next. And then also stay for Solid Rock. And now that we have dinner coming up again starting next week, that's a great time. Get here early. Sit at a different table every time. Get to know different people. Talk about their stories and their recovery. And especially look for folks, again, with lanyards, because this means that the person has gone through step study, they've been through leadership training, and they're ready to be a sponsor. So one key point here also is if you ask somebody to be your sponsor or your accountability partner and that person says no, don't take it as a personal rejection, because it isn't. So a lot of times people are, because they're, like tonight if you look around, there's very few people with lanyards. Some people are just overwhelmed. There's a lot of work associated with sponsoring a person. There's a lot of energy expended, a lot of time, a lot of resources. So sometimes people are just overwhelmed with the number of sponsors that they have. So don't take no as you did something wrong. It may just be that that person's just overwhelmed at the moment. If they do say no, ask them if they know somebody who might be a good sponsor, because often they know somebody who may be looking for sponsees. And most importantly, ask God to lead you to the sponsor and accountability partner of his choosing. That's the best approach. Let God choose for you. So I've talked a little bit about sponsors, and I mentioned accountability partners. So what's the difference between the two? So a sponsor is somebody who's completed the 4 Celebrate Recovery participant guides and has worked through the 8 principles and the 12 steps. He or she needs to meet the 6 requirements that we walk through when we talked about the role of a sponsor. And the main goal of this relationship is to choose somebody to guide you through this program. An accountability partner is someone that you ask to hold you accountable in certain areas of your recovery, such as meeting attendance, journaling, and so forth. This person can be of the same level of recovery that you are, and unlike a sponsor who should have completed the 8 principles or 12 steps, they don't have to have. So in my step study, I had 12 other guys in my step study group. They were all my accountability partners, every one of them. So, and I told them that. So that's another thing. If you want somebody to be an accountability partner, make sure you say, I would like you to be my accountability partner. Don't assume that it's going to happen. But by doing that, that gives them the right to say, hey, Arvin. I don't think there's any Arvins in here tonight, right? Trying not to pick anybody by name. Hey, Arvin, I see you may be doing some things that you probably shouldn't be doing. Hey, can we go out and talk about it at Solid Rock? So make sure you do that. So the accountability partner is a group who acts as a team, whereas your sponsor is the role of your coach, and it's one-on-one. So you need both in your recovery. So lots of accountability partners. And since we do prayer cards in small group, One of the best places to gather names for accountability partners is in a small group. Take those prayer cards that you get, write those names down somewhere, put them in your phone, put those phone numbers down. Get to know those people when you're struggling with something. If you know that that's somebody who struggles with the same thing, pick up the phone or send them a text, call them, do something, take some action. And the last thing here that I just want to point out is that your recovery is your responsibility. It's not your sponsor's responsibility. So I know a lot of people, I've been around here for 5+ years, and a lot of people say, well, my sponsor never calls me. You know what? It's not your sponsor's responsibility to call you. It's actually your responsibility to call your sponsor. So, because we as sponsors don't know when you need help. So we'll still reach out and call you. It's not like we'll never call you. But it's your responsibility to take the action to reach out to your sponsor. So tonight's the best night to start. So if you don't have an accountability partner, even if you're not in step study yet, it's a good time to start looking for a sponsor, because it takes time to cultivate those relationships. So do that. So start building that relationship and that network here tonight. So let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this group of people who are here to break out of our hurts, hang-ups, and habits that have kept us all bound to our past. Thank you for the leaders that you've provided here tonight, those wearing lanyards who have taken the steps to become leaders and to become eligible sponsors. Help us, Father, to find that person who will be our perfect sponsor. We know, Father, you already know who that person is. Make it obvious to us here tonight. Help us to establish honest, open relationships with those around us so that we can become the true and authentic people that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.